Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now here's Justin.
If you would, take your Old Testament, lay it on its spine, and just find about the middle, and go to the book of Psalms, if you will. Overwhelmingly, because the book of Psalms is the middle of the Bible, by and large, you'll wind up in Psalms or Proverbs or Job, kind of in there. But I want us to find the 37th Psalm, and we're going to draw the entirety of our thoughts before us tonight out of Psalm 37. As we remind ourselves, the Psalms are a beautiful asset, if you will, to the Old Testament. They may be the crown jewel of the Old Testament in that it is a wonderful section of poetry. It is a back door into a lot of the historical events of the Old Testament. You know, the Old Testament tells the story from the creation up till the period of 400 years of silence. But right there around the kingship of the United Kingdom of David, David wrote most of the Psalms, at least half of them. The Psalms give us another look into what was going on in David's mind. An inspired account, if you will, of some of the events that happened in the life of David. And as we look at these Psalms, we remind ourselves each Psalm, it's not like chapters in a book. Chapter 2 logically follows the events of chapter 1. And chapter 2 logically leads you into the events of chapter 3. It's not so with the book of Psalms. Psalm 37 is its own document. It can stand alone. It doesn't follow the events of 36, and it does not lead you into the events of 38. For instance, Psalm 38 talks about guilt. And we're not talking about guilt in Psalm 37. Psalm 37 is a great way to figure out how God's going to deal with those that are our enemies. We also remind ourselves that the book of Psalms, written in poetry, but not English poetry. We're familiar with how English poems are laid out. The book of Psalms is not so. It's Hebrew poetry. And they had a certain way that they wrote things. They kept coming back to the same idea. And they would make a statement and then say something about it. Then they would make it again and say a little more. And they would keep doing this process until they had accomplished their goal. I want to talk about four outstanding words in the book or in Psalm 37. We will not read the entirety of it, although I would highly encourage you to do so. If you've ever wondered, for instance, you know, we're supposed to love our enemies and we're supposed to pray for our enemies. If you ever wondered how to pray for your enemies, Psalm 37 is going to help you do that. You don't pray that they're successful, you pray that they fail. You pray that they utterly fail, that God will stop them in their doings. And we see David, as our title says, a Psalm of David. David is talking about how to deal with our enemies. I do want us to read, though, the first seven verses or so, and then we'll find our four outstanding words. David says, "To fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass, and withers the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. For shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospered in his way, because of the wicked man, or of the man who brings wicked devices to pass." Four outstanding words that you and I can draw comfort and encouragement from tonight. And the first one is found in verse number 3. Notice that first word of verse number 3, five little letters, trust. Our first outstanding word is trust. You look up in a dictionary, what does it mean to trust? Put belief or faith in someone or something. You know, the national motto of the country is "In God we trust." We put our trust in Him. I trust that the people who built this building many years ago knew what they're doing and it is structurally sound. And I trust the people that paved the roads and fixed the highways and the people that made my clothes and the people that ran the electrical wires into my house. I trust they knew what they were doing. I believe that they knew what they were doing. Well, notice here David says, I need to trust in the Lord and do good. See, it's not enough, dear friends, just to say, well, God's got it under control. God's going to take care of me, and then go out and do wickedness. No, he says, trust in the Lord, and there's action involved. I must do good. What is good? Well, all the things of God, is it not? So I must put my trust in God, or in the Lord, and do good, then I will dwell in the land. Now, David, more likely than not, hearkening back to when they would dwell in the promised land and how they were told that the Israelites, in the wandering in the book of Numbers, you got to do what God says. And at the end of this period of wilderness wanderings of 40 years, you will inherit the promised land. Well, dear friends, today, although we're not wandering in the wilderness in a big circle for 40 years, in essence, we are wandering on this earth this whole life, or we're not. We're strangers, pilgrims here. But if we trust the Lord, do good, if we're faithful to Him, we'll inherit the spiritual Canaan's land and be fed. Look at our second outstanding word in verse number 4. It's that first word of that, verse 2. Look at that. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight to find joy in something or someone. This time of year, as we have many holiday get-togethers, no doubt you are delighted when you get together and maybe see friends and family you haven't seen in a while. And you can enjoy a meal and share a laugh and this, that, and the other. It brings you great joy. David says to delight in the Lord. Find joy in serving the Lord and talking about the Lord and thinking about the Lord and living for the Lord. And notice, He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. He's not going to give you everything you might want, but isn't it true that the Lord takes care of our needs? Those of us who are faithful Christians, our needs are met, not our wants, but our needs. Oh, how sad it is, dear friends, that a lot of people in the world, they don't delight in the Lord. They don't find joy in being in His presence. Oftentimes they're scared of being in His presence. And I've noticed, it's like when people are afraid of cops. Cops are not bad, but the people who are afraid of cops are usually breaking the law. Or the people who don't want to talk to their tax assessor probably aren't filing their taxes right. That's just how that works, it seems. The people that don't want to be in God's presence usually aren't living a life that He would approve of. But if you do what He says, if you delight, you're happy to be in His presence, and He'll give you the desires.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Keep going in verse number 5, our third outstanding word. Oh, looky there, it's the first word of that verse as well. Commit. Commit. To make something sure. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Now in Hebrew, literally means to roll thy way upon the Lord, to almost like you're rolling something up a hill, and once you get that stone, you set it down at the top of the hill and you leave it there. You don't bring it back with you. You commit. You leave it where it is. If you commit your way, the way you live your life, unto the Lord, you also got to continue to trust. Notice this, He will bring whatever it is to pass. During our invitation song, we are basically asking people, are you fully committed to the Lord or not? And if you're not, you need to repent. Or if you've never become committed to the Lord, you need to become committed. You need to turn your life over to Him. Give it to Him and let it stay there. I must commit my way unto the Lord. And then notice our fourth outstanding word in verse number 7. And oh look, it's the first word of that verse as well. Rest. David says, I need to rest in the Lord. Literally in Hebrews, or in the Hebrew language, it is be silent to the Lord, to find comfort. If you look up rest in the dictionary, it means to cease from actions, to pause, if you will. He says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass. See, I've got to rest in the Lord. I've got to live in the Lord, knowing that He is just, knowing that He seeks vengeance upon those whom vengeance is due, and I need to trust God's timing. Is that not what he says? Wait patiently. He doesn't say wait and keep tapping your watch, waiting on God to do something on your time. You must wait patiently. You're working on God's time, not yours. But notice what happens, according to David. If I rest and wait patiently in the Lord, he's going to let those who are prospering in the wicked way, he's going to cause them to cease. At some point, the Lord causes those who are wicked to cease being successful. Now, sometimes it's a more immediate thing. We see that through the Old Testament. But dear friends, we know good and well when Jesus Christ comes back, the shout of an archangel, the loud trumpet, what's going to be defeated? Satan. He's our enemy, is he not? 1 Peter 5:8. So we must rest in the Lord. We must patiently wait for that day, for the day when he will dole out judgment. Four simple, outstanding words of trust, delight, commit, and rest. But stay in the book or in the chapter and go to the very end of Psalm 37 and look at verse 37. He says, mark the perfect man, or identify the perfect man. Behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. If you are doing what God has said for you to do, the end is peace if you're faithful to the Lord. But the transgressor, notice verse 38, shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked will be cut off. So if you're upright, doing what God says, you have a reward that you will like. If you're wicked, if you're a transgressor, you have a reward waiting for the Lord which you will not like. But notice verse 39, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in Him. See, it starts with trust and it ends with trust. Dear friends, could you be marked as an upright person? As one who is living after God's commands? If not, you need to. You need to let that be an identifier of you. And if you're not, we're going to have an opportunity here in just a minute to make your life right. If you've not obeyed the gospel, you can do so by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized, and then remaining faithful to the very end. But dear friends, if you're a Christian, you got to keep walking in the ways of the Lord. You got to keep doing the things you're supposed to. Because notice here, the wicked will be destroyed, but salvation is of the Lord, and He will save those who obey His commands. Take these lessons from David in Psalm 37 to heart.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.
From the International Gospel Hour, this is 60 Seconds for the Savior. I'm Jeff Archie. In Leviticus 26:12, God extends a promise to Israel when He said, "And I will walk among you and will be your God, and you shall be my people." Leviticus 26, verse 12. However, the promise had a condition based on their obedience. You know, I recall the illustration of the older couple riding together, she on one side of the car and he on the other, when a sports car passed them and a young lady was sitting right beside her boyfriend who was driving. The older lady mentioned how sweet it was and how she and her husband used to do that, and she asked her husband what happened, and her husband looked straight ahead and said, "I wasn't the one that moved." Friends, do you suppose we are the ones that move away from God? Yes, we are. Visit us at internationalgospelhour.com. Thanks for taking 60 seconds for the Savior and have a good day. From the International Gospel Hour, this is 60 Seconds for the Savior, and I'm Jeff Archie. Can we make this a 60 seconds of sincerity, if you will? You know, a lot of individuals believe as long as I am sincere, really doesn't matter what I believe. You know, go to a pharmacist and say, you know, it doesn't make any difference how you fill my prescription as long as you are sincere. And the pharmacist says, hey, you got it. Oh, dear friends, can you imagine what would happen? Dear friends, sincerity alone does not save. We can be sincere, but sincerely wrong. When we think about this, consider that sincerity is an attitude to apply to the heart, not the authority to adapt to the heart. The true authority, the Word of God. Sincerity and in truth, Joshua 24:14. Check us out at internationalgospelhour.com. I'm Jeff Archie, and thanks for taking 60 seconds for the Savior, and have a good day.